Let us go before our Father in prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. This is a day that you have made, and this is your day of worship. The seventh day of rest after 6 days of creation that you mandated us to keep forever. 6 days of work must we do. Seventh day we rest and glorify you. Meditate on you. Cease from troubling. Cease from our own words. So we stand fast in the liberty wherewith we have been free. And we ask that your Holy Spirit would comfort your people throughout the four corners of the earth and not to be fearful during these times. Come against the spirit of oppression, depression, suicide, loneliness. And we speak liberty and deliverance in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we declare. So be it. Hallelujah. Okay, brothers and sisters, welcome to Blueprint for Life, Zion Calling. And I am the preacher. It truly indeed is a blessing to be with you on today. Unfortunately, last week we had some technical issues, or else we had some straight haterade coming from people that control this particular frequency and airwaves that blocked out everything. So we're going to try and bring it back to you today. Blueprint for Life, Zion Calling, is brought to you by the Black Hole for Restoration Association. We've been on this broadcast going strong for some 12 years now. And you'll see that if you skim through the archives, maybe there's some lessons there that'll be able to bless you, that you'll be able to hear. So we're going to run a test to make sure everything works out today and that we're able to get through. We're not going to be before you long. Just want to make an announcement before we get into the direction of what we're going. We want to thank everyone who's been listening and supporting the broadcast, Health is Wealth, and the Sabbath lessons as well, every Sabbath day, which is on Saturday. And moving forward, what we plan on doing, I don't know if you've been listening for years, but Health is Wealth actually stemmed from your original Blueprint for Life, where we would take the first portion of the show and talk about health and herbs. But in this hour that we're living in right now, I have come to the realization that that particular topic of discussion needs to have a broadcast of its own, as we are busy fighting a spiritual battle. And that spiritual battle is affecting our temples and our bodies and trying to hinder us spiritually from seeing our Savior and getting back to Zion. We're trying to truly get back to Mount Zion. Many of us won't make it or endure with the assault and attack that's being wavered upon your soul and your physicality and your health. So we want to try and help to give you tools to fight that battle. It's a hidden, secretive battle to destroy you off of the face of the earth as a people through genocide. I'm going to talk about that a little bit later today. And also, we had started something, a show during our shows called The Awakening, where we were going through Hebrew history and the sojourn of a people to get the people to understand that the Bible is more than just a religious artifact or something to be used for dogma or the creation of various religions and doctrines, as we have over 900 different religious sects from this one book. Well, we get into other books on that show and that segment where we discover that we were truly the indigenous of South America, North America, the Caribbean islands, Australia. We break down facts, we get scientific, archaeological. So I came to the conclusion that needed its own day and its own show. So we're not going to delve into that on Sabbath any longer. The Sabbath will be strictly for the word of Yah, his commandments, getting the people to repent and come back to the commandments, to pray with you, over you, for you and your family. People are dying. Loved ones are dying. The jab is killing people. People don't have any confidence. The world is gripped in fear. And the Most High has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we will operate from that basis on the Sabbath going forward, because many of you need to hear a word. You have itching ears, and there's not a word in the land. Because I know right now you're not totally worried about prosperity teaching and this word of faith movement. What you're more so worried about is enduring your health, deliverance from oppression, depression, anxiety, and just destroying fear out of you and your family's life. I posted on Facebook last week the scripture. Give me one second. I posted on Facebook last week that the Bible made it clear in the New Testament, if there be any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church that they may come and lay hands on you and anoint you with oil whenever you're sick that you might be healed. That's not happening hardly anywhere anymore. For one, the church has no more confidence in the elders because they know Pastor Slick Charlie and the Reverend Bishop Porkback, Fatback, don't have no power or integrity with Yah. So therefore, they don't have anointing to be able to lay hands and impart healing and deliverance unto you. And the whole church has lost confidence in that because the church started giving everybody a pass. The homosexual, the adulterer, the fornicators, everybody was getting a pass. Everybody just wanted money and turned it into a show, a fashion show, a come-up session, or a daytime nightclub. So that has been totally destroyed. There was a time when people respected the house of Yah that they thought was the house of Yah. And there was a time you couldn't even lie to the man of Yah without the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodosh, Ananias and Sapphira lied to Apostle Peter and they dropped dead for telling lies. And that era seems to be bygone, but we're going to see today in scripture the Most High still has a remnant of people and a few good men. Like the army, a few good men who are willing to live and die for Yah and practice that level of anointing, prayer, fasting, and dedication. Men that have learned to control their loins and put on, gird their loins with truth, not lies, and that have on the full armor of Yah, that have shunned this world, not trying to use the world to further the gospel, No, no, no. He didn't ask you to drop your seed and mingle it with the world in order that he might be successful in giving the increase. No, no, no. He didn't say that. He said in Isaiah 58, I need you to lift up your voice like a trumpet in Zion and show my people their transgressions, meaning their sins, their breaking of his law. So we have to dedicate ourselves to that. I'm dedicating myself to that on Saturdays. So moving forward, on Tuesday, we'll let you know the time. On Tuesdays, we will get into the Hebrew history book and the sojourn of our people and give you a complete breakdown of history within the Bible so that you can see our people in the Bible, the history that's been erased. We go beyond the 400 years. All praises to the Most High, because it's been 400 years since we landed in Point Comfort, Virginia, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, back in 1619. And that's why the world started spinning upside down. It's not just an awakening, the truther movement, but it's prophecy being fulfilled that after 400 years, judgment would come upon this land. But we have fulfilled our time of indentured slavery to these Gentiles. And it's just about time for us to hear that sound, let my people go, so that we can head back to Zion. They're trying to obliterate our history so you won't pinpoint prophecy and associate this book with what's going on right now, which is why we're taking a lot of our preachers and some of the camps, some of those who are focused, whose eyes are open, they're taking them off of YouTube, Facebook, Blog Talk. They're just trying to erase it so that we don't wake you up to the knowledge of the truth. So I'm going to use all three of these days to awaken my people first and foremost. And I always say this, I'm not apologizing for looking out for true Israel, the real Hebrews, the black man first and foremost. I look out for other nations and races because the Bible said follow peace with all men and holiness without. No man will see the Lord, the Most High Yah. So I follow peace, and I have enough sense to know that this is the time of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are trotting upon Israel and Jerusalem. They're going to get out of there really soon because that land will be destroyed by fire so that he can purge it for the return of his children. But I do understand the olive branches and the grafting in of other races and nations. We receive you and we love you as long as you are following these commandments and following us, because he gave them to Israel to give to the other nations and teach them and preach them. Unfortunately, our people who have been called to be instructors, leaders, and teachers are teaching the world how to twerk and drop it like it's hot. Everything we do, they want to do. But that's not how it was supposed to be. We were supposed to teach them the statutes, laws, and commandments. The reason being is because Deuteronomy 28 makes it clear that the peculiar generation, my priesthood that I made a covenant with, two covenants with, you broke the first one. He said, you all, according to Deuteronomy 28, if you don't keep these commandments, you'll be cursed. Guess what? The other nations aren't going to be cursed because the commandments weren't given to them. We'll get more into that. The curses are upon us and act like it's not evident. We're going to get into that today. So stay tuned for the awakening, the Hebrew history of the sojourn of a people on Tuesdays starting next week. And then Wednesday, of course, at 5 p.m., health is wealth, and then back to the Shabbat on Saturdays, where we will get into Blueprint for Life once again, / Zion is calling. Because I know a lot of us are getting homesick. The Bible tells us in Psalms that Jerusalem is the mother of us all. Okay.
Okay.
Give me
1 second. I heard some technical difficulty, and I'm on top of these demons right now. So I got two lines going, and we're all set. I'm glad I listened in. I heard it breaking up quite a bit. But we're on top of it. We got backup lines. And we're going to record the show this time. Okay. I think I'm talking about the commandments and the fact of what we have to do moving forward as a people. But I'm looking forward to breaking up these shows and lessons, and I want you to understand the history. So tune in Tuesday as we will go over the View of the Hebrews book by Ethan Smith, Lost Tribes in the Promised Lands by Ronald Sanders. And let's see, what else will we be covering? Just there'll be a plethora of books. So you want to stay on board, and you don't want to miss out on that. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, I want to cover some of the history about Apostle Paul that I covered last week, and this will be the last time that we'll cover that type of history on today. And then we're going to move into our lesson, Faith Passport. So we'll be right back. All praises to the Most High. Praises to the Most High, and truly Babylon is falling. Okay, I wanted to get into something that I covered last week about Apostle Paul. Give me one second. Let me adjust this volume here. Okay. That's much better. All right, so we're going to get into real quick about Apostle Paul. I wanted to share that in the book of Acts, just a little history real quick. And as I mentioned, this will be next Tuesday, but I just want to cover this because this is dealing with scriptures. In the book of Acts, we see that Apostle Paul made reference after the ascension of Christ up into heaven, having been seen by 500 people as he was ascending, and he was directing them to go to the Feast of First Fruits to prepare for what would become the Day of Pentecost. But initially, the Feast of First Fruits, where Israel came from all over the world and gathered. So there was a festival going on while they were upstairs receiving the Holy Spirit. And we understand that 500, eventually over 300 and something of them left and got impatient and didn't receive it. But nonetheless, what I want to say is that Paul asked the question, has Yah done away with Israel? He said, no, sir. For I myself, I am of the tribe of Benjamin. Apostle Paul, who was Saul, Shaul, was literally, he was mistaken to be from Mitzrayim, which is Egypt, quite a few times. So we see in Philippians, I believe the third chapter, he started saying, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, not an Egyptian. And a lot of this got confused. And these are things that we bring out in the book that is hidden in plain sight. I think it was Philippians 3, 4, and 8. He would say, like, I am a Hebrew of all Hebrews. You know, so they were still referencing 12 tribe behavior and who Israel really was after the ascension of Christ. He did not do away with things because all of the law has not been fulfilled and all of the prophets have not been fulfilled. Scripture says not one jot or tittle will pass away until all has been fulfilled. We are still going through prophecy from the Torah and Tanakh being fulfilled. Now, he established the new covenant under the blood of Christ, and we are now under the order and priesthood of Melchizedek, and the commandments are written upon our heart, and we're awaiting that return to Jerusalem, which is Zion. But nonetheless, I point out for history's sake, for people to understand that things were hidden in plain sight, because this is one of the biggest cover-ups in history of the world. Those people that are in Israel now are Gentiles. And if you want to know who the Gentiles are, you go to Genesis, the sixth chapter, I believe that's right. Genesis tells you about the Isle of the Gentiles, and what you have to do is get your Wikipedia or dictionary, because all the names have been changed to protect the guilty, not the innocent. They don't want this world to see that another people have taken on our character and identity and who we are in the Bible. So originally in 38 BC, during the time of the Greeks and their conquering of our people, we became Hellenized Jews and took on their customs and still doing it today with these fraternities. But those were Idumeans, who are all related to Edom, Esau, and the Amalekites and the Romans. They took on the characteristics under the Hasmonean dynasty and tried to ostracize, contain, and enslave our people. Well, after the once we get into the Herodian dynasty during the time of Christ and his ascension and Herod and how he tried to kill all the firstborn and tried to kill Christ, that was another time where there was infiltration and people taking on our customs and identity. Now, when we go back into the 1900s of today, more modern times, and the Balfour Treaty, we have a people that have decided to take our customs to avoid the Spanish Inquisition, which is where the Catholic Church and the Spaniards were killing people in the name of Christianity. It was either convert to our religion or die. So you had Arabs who had coined, took on Islam. We all know the history of Islam. Ishmael, that forbidden son of Abraham's, with Hagar, the bondmaid. And then we'll talk about Islam religion a little bit later. But I'm talking about the Balfour Treaty, how that group of people were Khazarian Jews. And the Khazarian Jews decided to take on Judaism, which is not of our culture. They follow the Kabbalah and the Talmud. They don't believe in Yeshua. Even in their Talmud, they say he's boiling in hell in excrement. How blasphemous. Due to the Balfour Treaty, they were able to take those people and place them into the take over the land of the Philistines, and that's why they're still fighting to this day. And the Philistines have more blood closer to the Israelites than do the Khazarian pretenders and imposters that have taken over the land and created a language called Yiddish et cetera, et cetera. So you know the story. We had fled to the Atlas Mountains running for our life because we had disobeyed Yah, which is why we're going to talk about receiving our faith passports today and talk about the movement of Israel right now, what's happening in our times. So they didn't stop preaching the 12 tribes whatsoever. As a matter of fact, you look in the Jewish encyclopedia, you'll find out about Ham being the progenitor of the dark races and his children, who they were. His children were Egypt, Ethiopia, Libya. Those upper regions of northern Africa were the children of Ham. Now, I don't talk about the Hamites as much because what we don't take into consideration is that Joseph, who saved our people, married an Egyptian woman and produced two of the tribes of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh. Yes, sir. And then we forget Moses, who fled to Midian. He married an African woman, an Ethiopian, and produced children as well. Mingled with them a lot. And as I was saying, Paul was referenced to be an Egyptian because they were of the dark races. These are the things we'll be talking about on Tuesday from now on. I'm just giving you a little teaser. Midian, he married Keturah. And Midian is a part of Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia right next to Ethiopia. The fact of the matter is that people don't know that Arab means Arab. It comes from that word. Arab means black. We're going to find out that black is throughout the Bible in Acts the 13th chapter when he talked about different apostles and where they were from. One of the words you hear a lot of is Niger, but it was not Niger. They taught us that in church. That was actually Niger, but they put two G's on it, so we went from Niger to Nigger, and it's in the Bible what region they came from. And this is why the names are constantly changed. And it's a Spanish word. That's what I want you to understand. Let me pull this up real quick. Give me a second. The word Negro comes from the Latin Niger, which means black. In 1555, this word gained popularity among the Spaniards and Portuguese to describe the black African Jews. I hate that because your real Hebrews are black. It's like an oxymoron. Who were also known as Morenos and Marinas. And those Morenos, the Spaniards and Portuguese used the word Moreno as a nickname for someone with dark hair who was swarthy, which means black complexion, from Spanish and Portuguese Moreno, dark hair. A word of probably late Latin Marinus, a derivative of classical Latin Maris, the Moors. And the Moors were also black. We're going to go into that next week, where we'll break down the Moors, their region, Mansa Musa, University of Timbuktu, one of the first colleges that taught medicine and medical advancement. The history books don't want you to know all this. The first six kings of Europe, Scotland, England, London, Ireland, were black. King James the First and the Sixth, black. They don't want you to understand that. So they were calling us niggers and Moors back then. And so now it's supposed to be a term, a derogatory term of disparagement, but even in Ethiopia, the word Nagas means king, one of royalty. So we're not to confuse it or let it throw us off as we prepare ourselves to return. We find out about the book of Josephus, Antiquities of the Jews, the Hebrews, and where Africa got its name from. We'll be talking about that, going more into that. But I didn't finish my story. I know it sounds like I'm everywhere, but this is just a little history, and I'm just throwing it out at you because that's not my lesson today. What I wanted you to see is that they do not want you to know that that transatlantic slave trade, where the Hamitic people and some Hamitic people were enslaved, and the Arabs and the fake Jews were behind this slave trade to get us into the Americas and South America. But the indigenous of our people, the other 10 tribes, were already in the Americas and South Americas. So there's a lot of confusion out there, and we know Yah's not the author of confusion. It's man's lies. And we've been taught lies, and we're going to destroy that as we move forward and learning and better understanding who we are as a people. So we'll get more into that and give you a chance to look it up and study. So tune in on Tuesday. Look at Acts 13 and 1. See Barnabas and Simeon and Paul, Manane, and a few other apostles were all from what is known today as Africa. All right. With that being said, let's move into it. My lesson today is going to be, or are you going to take the vaccine passport? It's called Operation Footsteps. And I'm not going to go into current events. This has all been pre-planned from Satan on down to his secret societies and those who call themselves the elite of this world to get you backed up in a corner to the point where you're willing to do anything to go back to what you think is a normal life, and there'll be no more normalcy because we're living in biblical times. This is why I'm so adamant about bringing you the history, because the biblical times are upon us. Everybody knows that something is weird, strange, and like I can't, that this world is getting crazy. No, it's not getting crazy. It's getting biblical. And the way the pavement, the ground is being laid and set for the return of Yeshua. But before he comes, there will be an Antichrist government, because Satan knows he's running out of time and he wants to take as many people as he can with him to hell. I was just listening to the lyrics of a song, which I happen to like, but I realized that the songwriter was talking about Lucifer, the fallen angel, which in the Hebrew is Barak. I saw Satan fall like lightning to the earth. And it was, the song was Shine Bright Like a Diamond. You listen to it closely, it's people praising Satan. This world has been given over to Luciferian worship. They've even gone so far to put it in as to put things in our face with commercials, movies, TV shows, tennis shoes, and even in your vaccination is a chemical called luciferase that glows. I've seen people do tests on the PCR swab, scrape it, put it on the alcohol, turn on the blue light, and it glows. It's on the test swab. Unfortunately, we're being destroyed because our people are losing faith in their belief in Yah. And I'm so saddened to see my Hebrew brothers and sisters and those who call themselves Christians, and that's probably the problem, because if I were to be called a Christian, it'd be pre-Constantine Christian, because all of the churches now, today, after Constantine 70 AD, are paganist Christians who are practicing the same thing as the pagans and the Wiccans. Witchcraft and idolatry has nothing to do with the commandments. And what we're here to do is come back to the commandments. And the Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. Also, the scripture tells us without faith, it's impossible to please Yah. But the problem is that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of Yah. When you moved your church system into a philosophical, motivational speaking, pump-me-up rally with music and lights and smoke and long offering lines to get them tithes but don't read the rest of the Old Testament, your faith was destroyed because you didn't get the word. Whenever a man pontificates and prognosticates, reads you one verse of scripture and talks at you, takes your money and sends you home, and you go home the way you came, you know you've been bamboozled. So what I'm saying is that those people that call themselves believers of Yah for years have not received nothing but emotional stimulation, a lack of the word, so therefore their faith is not even the size of a mustard seed. When he said, if we live for him, we could speak to the mountains and they'd be moved with the size of a mustard seed of faith. But not every man has the same measure, and that is so true today. Because I can't find in the Bible anywhere that says, go get your vaccination passport so that I can use you in this last hour. I can't find one scripture that says I should allow someone to put a foreign substance in my body for my protection. No, what I do see is Isaiah 58 that says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Not one weapon. Not one sickness. Not one sickness will be able to come against you. Psalms 91 is our protection clause. That not only the sickness and the illness, but unseen sicknesses, diseases, flu, the paranoia, it can't even stand within your sight or in your home when you're protected by Yah and his word and you are keeping his commandments. Every tongue that rises up against us, he said that we would condemn. And we're not even living up to our full capacity. We're not even living up to our full standard. I'm sorry, I said Isaiah 58. I meant Isaiah 54. Let me read it for you. Isaiah 54 and 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee, because we're scared about people coming at us about masks and everything, and talking bad about not getting the shot, family separating, not speaking. It said, thou shalt condemn these people, and this is our heritage as being servants. Are you a servant of God? And their righteousness is of me. When you talk about righteousness, that's keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments. And then he said in 55 and 1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, cometh ye to the waters, and that have no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come by wine and milk, without money, without price. This word, these commandments, this heritage, it's free. And every Sunday you went to a pagan temple and had to pay for an emotional high and went home still living in sin because you didn't understand that 1 John 3 and 4 tells you that sin is transgression of the law. And you didn't understand that 1 John 2 and 3 said, we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. You didn't realize that Matthew 7, 21 through 23 tells you that many people will stand before him and claim they did great things. You know what they're going to be talking about? Lord, Lord, I knew you. And unfortunately, people, that's going to be a lot of your Christian recording artists, false pastors and bishops and preachers are going to try to say they did all these things. Now, if you pay attention to the scriptures I just read to you, you have no intimacy, knowledge with Yah. You don't know him if you're not keeping his commandments. Once again, I'll say it again, 1 John 2 and 3, we hereby do know that we know him. So if you want assurance against Matthew 7, 21 through 23, you got to go to 1 John 2 and 3, Yachanan, who said, this is how we have blessed assurance. We hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. But if you say you love me and you don't keep them, you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. Who's a liar? Satan, the father of lies. Who's the truth? Yeshua said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Which one are you going to choose? Because we're living in a society where good has been flipped into evil and evil's been flipped into good. To live a homosexual lifestyle, lesbian, is you just exploring and finding yourself. And you can self-identify. Now you can be whatever you want to be. And anybody that comes against you is a conservative that needs to be destroyed, censored, limited. Matter of fact, when y'all going to put them in quarantine camps and get them away from us so we can live our lives? You'll never be able to escape the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh, that brings you into conviction. Silence me. Can't silence the Holy Spirit. And as I said, Isaiah 58, lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions. I'm showing you where you're breaking Yah's law. And if you want to be a disciple, you have to discipline yourself. And if you discipline yourself, you will possibly inherit the kingdom. But you've got to learn kingdom, society, city, town, state rules. What is this stuff about the commandments are done away with? So you're saying we can be lawless and live in a holy kingdom? Not going to happen. We're living amongst the lawless right now, which is why sin is everywhere. And the love of many has waxed cold. We're watching Romans, the first chapter, happen right in front of our eyes, where people are being turned over to a reprobate mind because they're being turned over to the sin they love so much. We're living in a time where people love pleasure more than they love Yah. Nobody wants to turn off their eyes. You know, Job said it best. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes to put me in check. He said, I made a covenant to stop breaking my neck at every silicone field plastic surgery woman that passes by and wants to twerk. It's not getting to me in my eyes. Job made a covenant with his eyes. What are the three things that destroy us? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And guess what, brothers and sisters? I haven't even gotten into all my scriptures, but I know I'm talking good. Guess what, brothers and sisters? The initial sin is not disobedience, it's selfishness. Because out of selfishness comes idolatry. Eve was selfish. She wanted something for herself and wanted to disobey God because of her selfishness. You following your lust of the flesh is selfish because you want what you want, because you think you deserve to go have a quick moment of fornication or adultery. I deserve it. I guess you also deserve hell because you're selfish, meaning you have not died to your flesh and yourself. You're worried about you, how you feel, what you're going through, instead of saying, for Yah I live and for Yah I'll die. Because every time you try to do it, like the song says, I make a mess of my life. I pick up a venereal disease. I get somebody pregnant. I break somebody's heart. I bring curses on my children. I bring wickedness upon me. I cut off my blessings. I preached a message about Daniel, the 10th chapter, that prayed to Yah and didn't get the answer for 21 days because the angels were trying to get through the prince of Persia, a demon, fighting against it to get the answer through to Daniel, and he had to wait 21 days. Most of y'all would have gave up on day 15. Instead of waiting 6 more days for your answer, you say, God didn't answer my prayer or whatever. I'm going back to the club, to drugs, to fornicating, whatever, because of your impatience. And the Bible says, they that wait on Yah shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yea, I say, wait on Yah. We're waiting right now. And he that endures till the end. I got to keep doing what I'm doing every day, and I can't wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm tired of this. We had an old song when I was growing up in church that said, without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I will fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Powerful. Why put yourself in a position to find that out for yourself, that you will be shipwrecked without him? Faith passport, because we're trying to get back home. Because to Zion, Mount Zion, can't wait till we get there. Mount Zion is where we're going. Fear is operating in society today. And has taken over. And Yah says, I am. He says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. But when you come unto me, all of you that labor, he said, I will give you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Now let's break that down. Power. Do you know extra demons have been unleashed all over this globe, which is why we're seeing crazy times crazy? I'm not going to get into it now. I get into it on Health as Wealth about frequencies, but what's happening is demon spirits are riding on the frequencies that you're inviting into your home. And these 5G towers are helping to emit these frequencies, which are emitting spirits, which is why you see so much road rage and deaths on the freeways and highways, and everybody's cutting everybody off and impatient. People are just trying to kill each other because they can't control the demon. Yah comes to give you power to literally rebuke these demons every day because you're well within your rights and your authority. If you're blood-bought, you've repented from your sins, and you've done a 180-degree turn from your sins, not a 360-degree, because that's you going back the way you came from. Half circle, go the other way. He's giving you power to see the temptation when the woman in the red dress with the red pumps, whatever them red shoes they wear, comes switching your way. You can see that's Satan. I'm going to tell some of you men, you better be careful, because sometimes you're entertaining a demon or a high priestess witch that's been sent your way to destroy you. Same thing with you women, too, because a lot of these women don't want to get married and be submissive anymore. They figure, I'm making money, I can be the man, and I can call me up a gigolo, have sex with him, and send him home. And these brothers then got hit to that game, and so has Satan. And he's sending some evil men into these women's lives that are transferring demons and spirits, are trying to murder them or steal their money and take from them. Anyway, power. He said after he passed that, I'm giving you the authority now with the Holy Spirit in your life. That's if you have the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodosh. Read about it in Acts the 19th chapter. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven now. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You have the ability to walk up to a witch and say, I bind you in the name of Yeshua. And to loose, I loose the angels from heaven against these demonic spirits that are trying to attack my children, my home, my wife, my husband. This is the authority and power that the saints have who walk by faith. So he's given us, he has not given us a spirit of fear. All this that's permeating in the air now, fear, that's not of Yah. He's given us power. He's given us love. When you have love, you walk with peace. It leads to sound mind. Because when you have love, which means you forgive and let go of things people have done to you, and you follow peace with all men and holiness, and you can love because Yah is love. He is love. He's the very essence and manifestation of love. When you can truly love what he has created, you will have a sound mind, which is very rare today because everybody's on antidepressants, medication, which is pharmakia in the Greek, which is sorcery, which is witchcraft. Everyone's bewitched, which is why if you tell them to wear a mask, because you're going to get sick, they'll wear it. Tell them to take off all their clothes because it's accumulating germs and this pandemic is in your clothes. You need to walk around with just some shorts and be naked. The world will do it. It's because they're under a spell. They have made allegiance with Satan. You don't even realize that during those Super Bowl halftime shows, those were rituals and seances of summoning up demon spirits coming right through your TV into your home. Brothers and sisters, do you not know there's some music you need to turn off, some TV programs you got to turn off? You've got to be able to sense it, discern it in the spirit, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. So he said, I've come to give you power, love, and a sound mind. This is what he wants to give us. Israel is trying to get back to where she needs to be. I think the vaccine passport is a blessing in disguise because you are really biding your time, aligning yourself up with the world, saying, what do I do with my life? Guess I'll be like the rest of the world and go to the games and travel, you know, go to the clubs, go to a concert. But you wasn't praying. You weren't fasting. You weren't reading your word. You were so distracted. Now the distractions are moved. I don't need to go nowhere. I'm going to go see my family, and then if I can't sin, we'll be on FaceTime live, and that's going to be the extent of it. Right now, I'm trying to be still and know he's Yah because we are in the midst of the book of Revelations and Bible prophecy being fulfilled, which is why real preachers are being censored from every platform through this demonic artificial intelligence algorithms that are knocking us off the air because we're crying out loud and we represent a different frequency of peace, power, and love. I'm only concerned about a faith passport. Before I get into these other scriptures about Israel and where we are, let's look at some scriptures on faith. Mark 11 and 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now listen, the book of Proverbs made it clear. If you don't keep the commandments, your prayers are an abomination. That means they go to the ceiling and they come right back down. And somebody telling me they're going to pray for me because I'm not getting a shot. Now, you keep that prayer to yourself, and I'm a man of Yah. You watch yourself because you're a Catholic, an idolatrous, praying to beads and statues Catholic. Don't pray for me. The only prayers getting up to Yah are his followers, disciples, true disciples, who keep the commandments of Yah. Ephesians 3, 16 and 17, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in your inner man, hallelujah, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. Don't you cast him out. Psalms 51, David had to pray. He said, cast me not away from your presence, O God. He also says in Psalms, be not far away from me. You need him near you every day. And then you've got to believe he's there. But I know now at this juncture in my life, when I've made a mistake and he's not there, it's a cold emptiness that you feel and a lack of directions, like you lost your homing device or as if your GPS stops working and you in the midst of the country or in some rural area you lost and don't know where you're going. That's a horrible feeling. Because what do you first start doing? Asking people for directions. You know, this is what a lot of you all do that don't have the Holy Spirit. You want to talk to your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your mom, dad. You're seeking direction outside of Yah because you have no faith and you don't have the Holy Spirit. When you're lost, you start trying to look at maps. You start trying to get back in direction. That's the physical. As it denotes the spiritual, you've got to have the Holy Spirit. When I told you to go to Acts 19 earlier about the Holy Spirit, Apostle Paul came amongst some believers who were traveling, and he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? That denotes that you can believe in Yah and his son and accept him, but not have the Holy Spirit that changes all things. So he laid hands on them, imparted the Holy Spirit. We ain't got these men of God no more. They hardly around. Tied them again. And they began to speak in the unknown tongues. There's no Holy Spirit operating around here. That's why I'm not going to just say I'm a truther or just say this is the awakening, because everybody thinks they're waking up to something, but they don't know what it is. And then on top of that, they're not coming into deliverance and power and receiving the Holy Spirit. A lot of these camps, some of, yeah, we're the black man, and we're the truth, we're real. Okay, but I got some issues. The Willie Lynch syndrome is on me. I got post-traumatic stress disorder from slavery. My family and my people hate me. Thoughts of suicide keep coming. That's nice to know I'm a Hebrew and all this stuff, but I need deliverance. I need this peace of mind that this Bible talks about. I need my faith to increase. So you can't stop with that. This is why others are grafted in, because it's not all about you and your color all the time. I just want you to see it, because the truth will set you free. And that knowledge is power, because we've been beaten down for 400 years and told we were nothing when we're something. But that's half the battle. After that, you got to consecrate your life. Hebrews 11 and 1, we all know it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Romans 15 and 13, Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Of course, Hebrews goes on to talk about faith, how without it it's impossible to please him. We quoted that. And James is really good about keeping the commandments and having faith. James obliterates this conversation about we don't have to do works anymore. No, he's letting you know, knowing this, that the trying of your faith will work patience. And he's the one who said, be ye doers of the word, not just hearers. So you got people trying to get you to say, tell you that you don't have to keep the holy days in Leviticus 23. You don't have to keep the commandments. All you have to do is just go here. That's what you ain't got to do. Well, Revelations 22 and 14 kills that. Blessed are they that do his commandments, for they shall enter into the kingdom, New Zion, Jerusalem, through the gates. Because we're doing, we're working our faith passport salvation out. We'll be able to step through those gates with a passport that shows we've been keeping the commandments. Come on in. He's going to know that you kept the Feast of Passover and you know about the Feast of Tabernacles, because the book tells us in Zephaniah, I believe, that there will be many nations, if they don't keep the Feast of Tabernacles, this is after in the thousand-year millennial reign, that they will not receive any rain for their crops and harvests. And we're practicing it now out of obedience because the holy days are Sabbaths. So the Passover, Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Unleavened Bread. We must be doers of the word. Let me get into some other things. Let's go to Well, first, now let me read this. Psalms 147. I got so many scriptures. How did we get in this position to where we have to get our passports renewed so that we can get back into the kingdom? Psalm 78 and 10 said, they kept not the covenant of Yah and refused to walk in his law. My God. You know what? If you read this song by Asaph, you'll see that he was prophesying what would befall the people. If I go to 78:1, it says, give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. People don't understand the allegories and the parables and the dark utterings because it's not for everybody, but those who have the Holy Spirit can hear and decipher these words. Metaphors, allegories, dark words, it seems like, because people, I don't understand. I don't get it. People didn't understand the parables. What is he saying? He said it's not given to be given to everybody, but those who are mine, they'll get it, and they'll understand it. And that only comes through the Holy Spirit and his people. Verse 3, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us about this. We handed down through generations. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Most High and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed law in Israel only, which he commanded our fathers. He was only dealing with us, that they should make them known to their children. Are you telling your kids about the law's commandments and the great things that Yah has done for his people? 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in Yah and not forget the works of Yah, but keep his commandments. Hallelujah. Put my people in remembrance of who I am and who they are, which is our endeavor here at Blueprint for Life / Zionist Calling. Verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, whose spirit was not steadfast with Yah. The children of Ephraim, one of the tribes, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. We got many of our people right now that's going through this, turning their back on Yah, running to the white coats, running to get a shot. I ain't got no faith in what you're teaching. That Bible's not even real to me. I'm going to get this shot. And then I'll be shouting in church on Sunday, the wrong day. And then the verse I read, 10, they kept not the covenant of Yah and refused to walk in his law. Is what a lot of you are doing today because you're like, it's too hard. I want to kick it. I want to enjoy my life. Verse 11, and they forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. That in itself is powerful. That's why I just took a Selah break so you could just breathe it in for a second about our people. But prior to that, it's also telling us the responsibility we had to tell our children and our children's children. But what happened? We got caught up into religious ceremonial aspects of going to church on Sunday. We just took on religion and not relationship of understanding who we are as a people and what the mandate was. Let's look at Psalms 147. This is what we're trying to get prepared for, which is Psalms 147 and 2. Let me go ahead and read one. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto Yah, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely, beautiful. Verse 2, the Most High doth build up Jerusalem. He gathered together the outcasts of Israel. This song is a prophecy of how he's going to gather us. And I said last week that when he gathers us, in the wilderness, he's going to extend the rod, and through that rod, which is the demanding that you keep the commandment, there will be a purging of the rebels amongst us. Because that scripture also said people will still be trying to eat pork, unclean foods that he spoke against in Leviticus. And let me say something. Let me go back to something about this vaccine. One of the ways you can get out of taking that shot is because it has a chemical known as MRC5. MRC5 is what comes from an aborted fetus cell. Over the 60 million abortions that have happened in this world, and I think since the 70s, 20 million have been of Hebrews, of black people. And a lot of these vaccinations have dead baby cells in them. We were instructed to not partake, touch, of any blood, let alone inject it into our bodies, because the blood is the soul, the essence of a person. The life is in the blood of everything, and that spirit of that person is in that blood. You don't know what you're putting in your body, but the Bible spoke against it. You can't be a leaver when you're looking to have man's passport and willing to put to the side your faith passport, which will get you in the kingdom. I'm just pausing. I like to let it sink in for a while. Let me see if this is my next scripture. Look at Jeremiah 3 and 11. And the Most High said unto me, Jeremiah, the backsliding Israel have justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Verse 12, go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, return, O backsliding Israel, said the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, said the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. But 13 says, only acknowledge you, but you must acknowledge your iniquities that thou hast transgressed against the Most High and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers. Under every green tree, and ye have not obeyed my voice, said the Lord. Your wickedness you even spread amongst the nations and the sinners. We see that today with our music, the way we act and dress, which is a mess, the curses of Deuteronomy 28. Y'all wear green hair, they wear green hair. Y'all want to do rap and hip-hop, they want to do rap and hip-hop. The way y'all want to sing, that's the way they want to sing. What y'all want to sing about, that's what they'll sing about. It's twisted. And he's getting ready to clean this stuff up. But I'm trying to get you prepared so that when the cleanup comes, will you survive? Because two-thirds of our people will be destroyed. And then let me tell you this. Those that are in the right way, the book of Obadiah, the last verse, tells us that the 10 tribes, that Judah and Benjamin will become as a flame of fire, and that the Edomites will become as stubble. That land of Israel, the way it is now, it's going to be burnt asunder. These people that are over there, these Edomites will be stubble. Those Amalekites, those Idumeans from the Caucasus Mountains. People don't even know that at one point back in the 90s or early 2000s, they offered reverse migration to those fake Israels over there to go back to Croatia and the Ukraine, where it is a hotbed for war right now. But that the people were coming up with skin cancer, and there's fighting over there constantly. So they was like, okay, for those of you who want to get out of the Balfour Treaty and escape this madness, we'll reverse it. You can't find that on Google. Search it all you want. Maybe if you go to DuckDuckGo, but you won't find it on Google. That's been scrubbed and scraped, but I taught on it maybe some 10 years ago. The nerve to offer reverse migration. There's nowhere to send us because some other people are occupying our homeland, Jerusalem, and it has to be purged by fire. Nuclear armaments, underground, everything over there. It's a mess. The Most High wants to help us through this battle of good and evil, and some of you will make it, and some of you will be destroyed. Why help Satan destroy you by making an uninformed choice to put a vaccination inside your body that's going to kill you eventually, but you won't know it. It'll just be sepsis. That's what you'll think it is. Organs failing. Talking about DMX, all his organs failed. No, we heard he got the shot, and within 6 days, he had a heart attack. Doesn't help that, you know, he destroyed his heart over the years from drugs. That added to it. I'm saying some stuff. You sure I'm still on the radio? Look at Micah, the 5th chapter. The 3rd verse, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. Who's the she? Okay, let's deal with it. Revelations 12th chapter. Revelations 12, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, 12 tribes of Israel. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This is talking about how Judah sprang forth, Yeshua, Christ, sprang out from amongst the tribe of Judah. Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and red and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. These are those, this is prophesied Daniel, the European Union, these heads of states. That's why I can't stand politics, because Satan is hiding in the details. Verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. There's your shine bright like a diamond. Satan took his tail and took a third of the angels with him and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready, Israel's the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child. This is the Herodian dynasty when Herod, Satan told Herod to kill all the firstborn Israelites because he knew Yeshua was coming. How did he know? Come on. Satan knows these things. He got kicked out of heaven, but even Daniel knew. I don't know the book. I have to find it again. But Daniel saved all of his money and had it passed down through generations and time to give to Mary and Joseph so that they would have money to take care of the child and grow him up. Daniel was good with the stars, so he was able to see the time of when and where it would happen. He wasn't an astrologer to the point of some of y'all zodiac signs and what is my horoscope today. No, he understood the times through the stars, something you can only learn about in Enoch in the Book of Jubilees. Because on the fourth day, the moon, sun, moon, and stars were created to help divide the times and seasons. And he understood that. Let me keep reading. Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child, Yeshua, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, the commandments. And her child was caught up unto Yah and to his throne. That verse 5 covered everything, his ministry, his death, resurrection, his death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension. And then 6 moves into the times of what we're getting ready to go into now, Jacob's trouble. And the woman, children of Israel, fled into the wilderness where she had the place prepared of Yah, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And then 7, you actually go back talking about the war in heaven with Michael and the angels against the dragon when he was cast out, prevailed not, neither was there any place found anymore for him in heaven. He is locked underneath this firmament in the earth. All of this is another lesson. I'm just trying to break down who the woman is. Let's skip to verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before Yah day and night. He's down there. The book of Job, the first chapter, tells you how Satan had the ability to go back and forth. And he was trying to mess around with different people on the earth. Yah said he was meeting with the sons of God, who were his angels. And he said, I've been searching the earth, going back and forth, to and fro, looking for somebody to destroy. And that's when Yah said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan told him, I can't get to him. You got a hedge around him. And that hedge of protection is you being a commandment keeper and the protection and Holy Spirit of Yah. He said, I'm going to remove that hedge and allow you to touch him, but he's not going to curse me because I know I've got his heart. I say all that to say that he no longer has that ability to get up into the heavens, which is why he's trying to get up into heaven now through his vices and science from men. And go into the archives and please listen to the 3 weeks I did on beware of oppositions of science, because this whole world is worshiping science right now and artificial intelligence is taking over. And Paul warned us. Anyway, he can't go to and fro anymore. So now, through NASA, space travel, satellites, he's trying to become all-knowing, omnipotent, omniscient. He wants to be like Yah. In Isaiah, the 14th chapter, he set out a 5-point plan. And he said, I shall elevate my throne amongst the stars, which is their little satellites and spaceships. But guess what? It's not going through the Van Allen belt, because there's too much radiation and heat. They can't get past it. Then there's the firmament. They can't get past that, which is why they're always using that joke phrase saying, we broke the glass ceiling. Even the Simpsons had a broadcast where Homer hit a home run, and it went so high up in the sky, it broke the firmament, the glass ceiling. These people know. One of the inventors who went supposedly was on the Apollo 5. His tombstone, he quoted a scripture that's in the Old Testament that talks about how glorious the firmament is. Because man is lying to you. Ain't nobody been to no Venus or Mars. There is no Venus or Mars. Because he said in the beginning, I created the heavens and the earth. And on the fourth day, he made the moon and the sun and the stars. And that was it. He didn't say, then I made Jupiter and Pluto and other inhabitants and other Earths and Star Wars. And then I made Star Trek. And then I made the Dark Force and Dark Side. You've been lied to. These movies got you going. It's called brainwashing and witchcraft of the fallen angels and fallen deities. Satan is trapped along with his demons that hover in the atmosphere looking for someone to occupy and destroy, because Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Let's go to verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their test, and they loved not their lives unto death. That right there is what I've been trying to tell you. You've got to love not your life until death, meaning like this life ain't about nothing. I'm waiting on Yeshua. I'm looking for the kingdom to come. I don't want fame in this world, and I don't even really want millions and billions of dollars. Now everybody wants to be a billionaire. He made it clear. You know, billionaire getting into the kingdom because you don't think you need God. It's the billionaires of this world now that are plotting to destroy mankind and depopulate the earth. And they're doing a good job because you're getting the jab. Deagle.com, they want to see America go from 350 million to 99 million by 2025. Everybody I hear is saying, I want to travel and I want to see the world. Selfishness. And I want to go here and I want to do this and I want to. Come, you can't be content with the things you have. You know, when I pray, sometimes I'll say, I thank you for what I have, and I thank you for what I don't have. Because he protects us to make sure we don't destroy ourselves with lust of keeping up with the Joneses, getting caught up in the comparative self-worth and other physiological, psychological issues that we pick up throughout time, thinking that we're nothing unless we've seen the world travel, did this and that. You know, I can see the world on TV. National Geographic. Those are some of my favorite shows when people travel and I get to see the beauty and splendor of Yah. Now, if he affords me the opportunity to see how beautiful Africa is, I go. But if I don't get a chance, I'm okay. As long as I've got him, I've got everything. It's not a night I don't dream and find myself in the spiritual world and end up seeing a lot of things and going a lot of places. That's what happened with the prophets, which is why they put it in a book to tell us what's happening all around us right now. Revelations 11, 12, and 12. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth. Let me read that again. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he's been cast out of heaven. And he's pissed because he knoweth that he has but a short time because hell's been prepared for him and his demons, his angels. So he's wrapping it up right now. He's like, I'm almost on time. He knows it. And the Most High said, except there be a shortness of days, no flesh should survive what they're bringing on this earth, which is why it might be Saturday right now. You blink your eyes and it's going to be Wednesday. Time is moving so rapidly and fast, you can't keep up with it. You like, I was 50 yesterday, now I'm 55. What, running out of time? And he's mad. 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, Israel, which brought forth the man-child, Yeshua. And 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness. That takes you right back to verse 6 that jumps to 14. That the Most High is going to save us, the remnant of people, and I'm going to teach that today, we're going into the wilderness, that's the gathering, which some have confused for the rapture, into her place where she will be nourished for a time and times and a half a time. What is that? 3.5 years. A time is a year. A time and times, that's 1 year, 2 years, and then a half of a time, that's 3.5 years that 14 is talking about. I'll give you a precept for that later. He's going to hide us from the face of who? The serpent, who is who? The devil. There is a remnant of people that for 3.5 years, while these trumpets are being blown in, the vials and bowls are being poured out upon those, the wicked in this world, because this world is wicked. These people hate Yah. These people hate Yah. And you can see it in their music, songs. These people hate Yah. Church, everything. He's going to take this remnant of people who keep the commandments, tuck us away. It's called the gathering, not the rapture. He's going to gather us from the four corners of the earth to take us to this one place called the wilderness. We're scattered everywhere, people. Australia, Pacific Islands, South America, Caribbeans, Russia, Iraq, Iran, India. going to gather his people and put them in a place and hide us from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. He'll seek to destroy us that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. Now, I've heard people say that most of Israel is being carried away from the word that's the doctrine. I don't agree with that, that they say it's all these different doctrines, doctrinal beliefs. And the earth opened up, verse 16, and helped the woman. What they're alluding to are the fragments that the earth is divulging, where archaeologists are finding other books of the Bible, the Qumran caves, the extracting fragments of word, of scrolls, Torah, prophecies of what's coming on the earth. Daniel was told, take these books and seal them up, hide them so that they're not discovered until the end times, a remote generation. He showed Daniel the same things he showed John in Revelations. He told Daniel to put your books up because they don't need to know all this right now. Ezra, who's known as Esdras in the Apocrypha, wrote over 260 books, including the book of Nehemiah. And these books are coming out now to restore who we are, what happened, and what's going on, and what would befall us, because the nations are racist. And these racists who hate a certain group of people hate Israel, and they want Israel to get the promised land. Verse 17 says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. The ones that are left, the ones who didn't get the jab. Because I'm sorry, you're not putting fetus cells in my body, luciferase, and changing my DNA. Because that would be me that Christ was talking about when they asked him, when will your coming be? And he said, it will be just like it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be before the coming of the Son of Man, Yeshua. In the days of Noah, there was so much sin in the world, gene splicing, DNA tampering, mixing sexes, races, the animals, the fallen angels were being worshipped. He's like, I got to destroy this earth. These demons are walking around. Giants are walking around devouring man. Giants, which were the Nephilim, which were the fallen angels having sex with women, producing Nephilim. You had beasts on the earth. People's DNA is getting ready to change through spike proteins and luciferase. You're going to put luciferase in your body? And you won't be able to buy or sell without these passports? Well, that's what Revelation said. But I know a God by faith that took care of the children of Israel as they sojourned, made sure they had manna, quail, water. Elisha sat up under a tree. He sent a raven to feed Elisha. A bird brought food. We weren't feeding the birds. Birds was feeding us. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's the people in the wilderness. He's going to try to destroy us and find us, which is what they're doing when they're extracting your blood. They want to pinpoint and identify who's who. But these people, listen to who these people are, the remnant, which keep the commandments of Yah and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Since I'm here, let's skip over to 4:22 and 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in to the gates, enter in through the gates into that city. We're the only ones going in, the ones that are keeping the commandments. And then when I go to the Apocrypha, Book of... I can find it real quick. It's Baruch. Here we go. Baruch 4:1. This is the book of the commandments, not the book of the law. This is the book of the commandments of Yah and the law that endureth forever. All they that keep it shall come to life, but such as leave it shall die. Turn thee, O Jacob, and take hold of it. Walk in the presence of the light thereof, that thou mayest be illuminated. Give not thine honor to another. Don't give them Khazars our honor. Y'all not us. Christian church had you sending tithes over to them, because they talking about the Bible said, whoever blesses Israel shall be blessed, whoever curses them shall be cursed. Well, guess what? You got the wrong people. Verse 4, O Israel, happy are we, for things that are pleasing to Yah are made known unto us. So be of good cheer, my people, the memorial of Israel. Baruch 4 and 1. The woman, Jeremiah 6 and 2. I'll give you a precept for it. That's how you study your Bible. Don't come talking to me about no seminary. Well, you have to understand it in context and read the chapter. No. Isaiah said, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little bit here and a little bit there. That's what defines the word. If somebody's going to give you a Bible answer for your Bible question, they better give you a scripture. Tell them I don't need your pontification. I want a scripture, and then I want another scripture that answers that scripture. Learn how to study your word. Jeremiah 6 and 2. I have likened the daughter of Zion, which is Jerusalem, to a comely and delicate woman. The woman spoken of in Revelation 12 is Zion, Jerusalem, Israel, a beautiful people. And that is the allegory. That is the precept. That's how you understand that. Let's get a few more scriptures before we get ready to close out. Jeremiah 3 and 20. Surely as a wife treacherously departed from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. You walked away from him. 3 and 8 also says, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. The harlot is us getting into all these other religions and walking away from these commandments and walking away from Yah to be like the world, wanting this world, because we were so upset with the curses that were put upon us because we disobeyed and didn't want to keep the commandments mentioned in Deuteronomy 28. Let me read a few more before I get ready to close out. Because I could go on and on, so I'm not sure I covered this one. Here we are. Ezekiel 20 and 37 is what we read in Revelation 12 about being in the wilderness. This is what's going to happen. No, let's go up. See, we're going back to the wilderness. And this is talking about the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness, how we got purged out. Only a few made it in to the promised land. Even Moses didn't make it in. Joshua became the leader. So you look at Ezekiel 20 and 36, it says, like as I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, said Yah. And I will cause you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of this new covenant. Verse 38, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress, that don't keep the law against me. I will bring them forth out of the country, that's the gathering, where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am Lord. You understand what's going on right there? That was what we read in Revelation 12, where there will be a gathering, but there will be a purging because we're going up under the rod of correction because we got to get this mess off of us. So those believers, Israel, there'll be some people that are going to make it in, but they're not going to make it through the wilderness those 3.5 years when Satan's trying to destroy us and find us because he's going to be purging out the rebels because Israel, when we go into the new Israel, the new Zion, it's going to be a place where there will be no more hatred, murder, variance, Willie Lynch syndrome. I got to purge out these rebels. Come on. Yeshua had Judas. Even when he had the 12, he would all sometimes only take the 3 with him. There's going to be a purging. But overall, what you need to know is those that are keeping the commandments have a hedge around them, a hedge of protection that's going to be there. I got so many more scriptures I want to share with you. We don't have a lot of time. Maybe I'll point some more things before I close out with a word of prayer. I'm going to run through Ezekiel 16 real quick, highlight some scriptures, just real quick so you can see how unfaithful Israel is. How about Ezekiel 16 and 1? Again, the word of Yah came unto me saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her, the woman, her abominations. Skip down to 8. Now, when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and I covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, said the Most High. Meaning he chose Israel, covered us, cleansed us, and made a covenant with us to be priests. And before Moses could get to the bottom of the hill with the laws, we had already broken it, made a calf of gold, and backslid, having an orgy, partying, walked away from Yah. And we just kept on doing it. Then we wanted a king. It's just unruly. It just doesn't stop. Verse 9. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. You can read this whole chapter on your own a little bit later. Let's skip to 14. And thy renown went from among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness. Your beauty is perfect when you are connected to Yah. He said, I put beauty upon you. We were such a beautiful people. The women were just adored all over the world. So were the men, their comeliness, their strength, their height, their stature. It was said that the 12 sons of Jacob could outrun gazelles. David, you see, he killed lions and bears. The strength we had, who we were as a people, the women were, that's why they're going to get weaves now. And fake eyelashes and everything, because Isaiah 3rd chapter talks about how they lost their beauty through the curses. Had hair that would cover up all their body parts, flowed all the way past their buttocks. And other nations desire to look like these women. The natural curves and built and everything that's there. Verse 17, thou hast also taken thy fair jewels of my gold and silver, which I gave you. He made us rich. But you went and made images of men and committed whoredom with them. You walked away from Yah and worshiped the things that you made. Immediately, we had the things we took out of Egypt, gold chains, necklaces, and rings. We all gathered them, gave them to Aaron and burnt them and made a gold calf and worshiped that. Verse 21, that thou hast slain my children and delivered them to cause them to pass through the fire. This is in reference back to the abortions and getting our kids to worship other gods and sacrificing our children. Verse 23, and it came to pass, after all thy wickedness, woe unto thee, saith the Most High, that thou hast also built unto thee an eminent place and has made thee a high place in every street. That's even talking about you got a church on every corner with a pagan, Wiccan, false Christianity religion, worshiping wood, picture sitting up as soon as you walk in like he got. Let's read some more. Let's get to 26. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, your neighbors, great of flesh, and has increased thy whoredoms to provoke me, Yah, to anger. We provoked him to so much anger that in the book of Acts, that's when he opened it up for the other races, other nations, the Gentiles, to be able to come into this thing, because he wanted to provoke us to jealousy because we kept walking away. So now they get a right to come on in and be a part of this as long as they keep the commandments, accept him, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. They get to come in. Because you were picked and chosen. And that's why these, you know, Edomites can't stand you. They want you dead. 27, behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee and have diminished thine ordinary food and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate you. That's what I just said. The daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd ways. He played the whore. It goes on to sing with the Assyrians, the Chaldeans, the Canaanites. That's all Ethiopia, Africa, Syria. It's talking about how we just always went over there and wanted to be like these people and blend in with them and mixed marriages with them and worship their gods. Verse 32, but as a wife that committeth adultery, which taketh strangers instead of her husband, We want to worship other gods, follow after America, but not follow after Yah, who is our husband. Verse 38, he says, and I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged. And I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. He said, I will also give thee into their hands, and they shall throw down thine eminent places, shall break down your high places. They shall strip thee of thy clothes and shall take thy fair jewels and leave you naked and bare. That's the curses of Deuteronomy 28, 14 through 68. Let me go through some more real quick. I'm just skipping through Ezekiel 16. Let's look at 43. Because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, meaning what we went through, but has fretted me in all these things, behold, therefore, I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Most High, and thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. Verse 51 says, neither hath Samaria committed half of thy sins, but thou hast multiplied thine abominations more than they, and hast justified thy sisters and all thine abominations which thou hast done. The abomination is worshiping of other gods. Once again, let's skip down. He's doing a comparisons of our sins to Sodom and Samaria. But let's skip to 59. For thus said the Most High, I will even deal with thee as thou hast done, which hast despised the oath in breaking the covenant of the commandments and the laws. Nevertheless, I will remember my covenant with thee in the days of thy youth, and I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. That's in Jeremiah, talked about in Jeremiah, I believe it's 33, and it's also talked about in Hebrews, the ninth chapter, the new covenant. We are under the order of Melchizedek. We no longer have a Levitical priesthood that we have to go to. We're all in the priesthood. And there is no one is greater. There's nobody leading over somebody and all this stuff, all of equal priesthood with this new covenant. And he said, I will establish unto thee an everlasting covenant. Then thou shalt remember thy ways and be ashamed. And he's talking about the return of Yeshua when we see him. When thou shalt receive thy sisters, thine elder, thy younger, and I will give them unto thee for daughters, but not by thy covenant. And I will establish my covenant with you, Israel, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, that thou mayest remember and not be confounded and never open thy mouth anymore because of thy shame when I am pacified toward thee for all that thou hast done. He's upset with his people right now, but he's going to pull back his anger and call us home, take us to the wilderness, put us up under the law, purge out all the bad people, the rebels, then take us into the new Zion, the new kingdom. Because he's not going to stay mad. You've been mad at your son and you've been mad at your children before, but you can't stay mad because that's your child. But you want them to pay the price, which we are paying. And it's time to get your faith passport ready, get right so you won't be purged out. Don't give in to the ways of man in fear. You can have your little vaccine passport. I'm trying to increase my faith and prepare myself to go back to the mother of us all, Jerusalem, new Mount Zion, the new heaven and new earth. Because what's coming on this earth and this world is real. Some of you will be removed for your safety because as Noah's grandparents and his parents were removed before the flood, some of your family members will be taken home. But he said to be absent from the body is to be present with Yah. And precious in the sight of Yah is the coming home of his saints. Who are the saints? Psalms 148 tells us that the saints are those that are dead in Israel. Israel, the horn of his glory are the saints, not the Saint Peter's and all this of, well, I guess I don't mean Peter, but in the Catholic Church, they make everybody a saint. They think they have the power to turn dead people into saints, and they don't. Catholic whore. And we play the whore by being under the Catholic Church and those churches that have spawned off of the Catholic Church. You're not a Seventh-day Adventist. You're not a Foursquare. You're not a Baptist. You're not a Lutheran. He's definitely not Muslim. Stop being influenced by Farrakhan because Islam is a religion of hate. I talked about that last week. I'm not going to talk about it today, but I pointed out all the scriptures in the Quran that says to lie, deceive, hate, and kill. You've got to increase your faith, brothers and sisters, if you want to make it in the kingdom. There's going to be a purging. We're practicing the covenant. We're coming back to the covenant. We're getting the curses off of us. We're coming back to Yah. This is serious. You've had enough time to party. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. A lot of you all shouldn't even be alive today. Should have caught HIV, should have caught AIDS, should have been shot, should have been killed. If grace and mercy has found you, why don't you repent today for your sins and ask Yah to come into your life and fill you with the Holy Spirit. Get baptized and turn your back on this world and walk by faith and not by sight. I love you, and we're praying for you because we're going to get through this, because this is a multi-layered event that's taking place. We've got to get through this and endure to the end. And guess what? You can do it. Start practicing consistency in your life. Let that consistency start with fasting once a week, praying every morning, and if you can, three times a day, reading this Bible every day. Turn off the news that's playing all the time. It's okay to watch it sometimes, but shit, it's brainwashing. It's covert. It's multimedia. It's a tele-lie, television, MK Ultra, Operation Mockingbird, all these things that you don't even realize what's happening to you with the information that's being secreted through the frequencies. It's demonic possession. He's coming for a people that want to be his people. We can make it. That's been my time. I think I've said enough. And I'm going to close out saying, as I always do, that the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey, not a destination. Shema Israel, Kwam Yasha Allah, let's rise. Let's get some discipline in our lives. Young people, you ain't got to be doing what Lil Nas X and Beyonce, everybody's doing, and TikTok, you know, to enjoy your life. Most of the young people in the Bible, David was young when he was called. I commend those young men back in the day, like Martin Luther King and Huey Newton and Fred Hampton, who were like in their 20s that were trying to stand for something. But those days are over. Now it's time for you to stand for your life, your family, and what you believe in, spirituality. Let the Most High do the rest, because we will not get justice until the habitation of justice, Jeremiah 50, Yah, returns through the likeness of his son, Yeshua, the return of Christ. That's your habitation of justice. Let his word be your protection, because he will assign angels to your life. Read Psalms 91 again. Read it every day. And know that Psalms 91 said, people are going to be dying to the left of you and to the right. But this will not come to your home or to your life or to your family if you stay up under his protection and his authority. You be the preacher. This has been Blueprint for Life. Zion is calling. Keep the faith. Zion is coming.